Skin tight, defender of the night. I'm not a parasite. We're talking about the 2018 Sony and Marvel co-production, Venom. This is Super Cinema, the comic book podcast where we break down the movies that comic books have created. Folks, I'm the host of the show, Ben Hamlin.
And I'm Nikki Boylan, the co-host.
Nikki, welcome back to your own podcast.
Thank you.
What did you do with me?
I love how you say that every time.
It's, well, because it's so good to talk to you.
I know.
And normally, when we don't do the show, we normally only talk several times a week. I guess we're also friends or whatever.
Right.
Nikki, good to see you again, obviously. We have taken a bit of a break from this program, as our listeners, I'm sure, have noticed. There has not been anything new on the Super Cinema feed for about 8 months. And that's, you know, because nothing's been as good as Venom.
Venom really resuscitated the need for the podcast, and here we are. We thought slimy boy buddy cop movie, best film of 2018.
We just need to talk about our big goopy cannibal son.
Problematic slime man.
You all knew that Ant-Man and the Wasp was going to be good, and, you know, everyone told you that, and you agreed, and you saw the movie, and you enjoyed it. But we needed to, of course, spread the gospel truth that was, hey, Venom's good! That falls upon our shoulders to do so. We the noble few, who liked Venom...
To be fair,
we liked Venom a lot.
To be fair, most of the audience liked Venom. The critics just don't know how to have fun.
Everyone enjoyed Venom. Everyone should enjoy Venom because it's a real goofball, dumbfuck movie.
It is so fun.
That's going to be what my review boils down to, by the way. If you're expecting nuance from this episode.
You're not going to get nuance from either of us.
No. First things first, though, we have an announcement about the show that you are listening to right now.
So, this, as you have all have noticed, is no longer a regular occurring podcast, and that's okay. There is such an influx of comic book movie content with one coming out every 22 seconds that we can't keep up with it. And we also have lives. So,
let's not lie to them.
I'm not lying.
Oh, my entire life is podcasting at this point.
One half of this podcast has a life that they must maintain outside of comedy.
Okay, well, it's mean when you say it like that.
Because we cannot keep up with the large influx of content, this is going to be a occasional podcast. So when we find a comic book movie that is spectacular, such as Into the Spider-Verse will be in 2 weeks, or one that is truly, truly horrible, like the Punisher movies.
Madam.
I wish I was joking.
No, that's correct.
I wish I was... Well, you know, the ones that are horrible, but we still enjoy talking about anyway. Like, for example, the movie we're going to talk about today. Then you will find us at Super Cinema Podcast talking about the great ones and the stinkers, as Ben likes to put it.
Yes. Sorry, folks. There's just quite literally too much all the time, and I can't keep up with it. And frankly, I don't care about half of it. I don't mean that as a Marvel DC thing. I mean, I just don't care about literally half of them.
It was better when they were coming out like every year, every 2 years. And now we got four Marvel movies this year.
The initial premise of this show was that, we'll of course review the new ones as they come out. And then during the off months when there aren't comic book movies, we'll go back and review old ones,
now,
which is how we got away with.
Now there aren't off moments. It's just on all the time.
There's just too much. I can't keep up between all the Legions and the Runaways and the Teen Titans and the Doom Patrols and the 10 Aquamans and the 4 Spider-Mans and all that jazz. So anyway, we're just going to do this on an occasional basis, as Nikki so eloquently said earlier. I did bring up our Patreon, though. So speaking of our Patreon, we would ask that you stay subscribed to this very feed, because the lowest ranked goal on our Patreon at $50 a month, or at patreon.com/infinitybreak, is a monthly comic book special from us, the wonderful hosts of Super Cinema, a podcast that, again, has not updated in 8 months. As much as Nikki and I love comic book movies, we love comic books, in my case, more so. I don't actually know how you stand.
Depends on the comic, because if it's Spider-Man, definitely more. Everything else good is call. Yeah.
It's hit or miss.
It's not Spider-Man, so.
It's not Spider-Man, so what's the point?
Exactly. Spider-Man got me into comics, and that's the way it will stay.
I'm sure that's an applicable line to, you know, comic book media, but I can also picture you using that line at, say, the post office. It's not Spider-Man, so what's the point?
Me paying my taxes. It's not Spider-Man, so what's the point? I'm sorry, is this money
going... Hi, Nikki, here's your W-2. It's not Spider-Man, so what's the point? So we have a goal at our Patreon, at patreon.com/infinitybreak at $50 a month, where we will be using that money in part to talk about comic books every month, discussing... I don't think we're going to keep up with... I also don't think we're going to keep up with new ones in that show. We'll probably just be talking about, you know, books that we've enjoyed over time and maybe catching up on some of the newer stuff. And I believe we'll occasionally bring in guests from other Infinity Break projects and our friend podcasts across the wide internet to talk about comics with us at the $50 level. We don't quite know what the format of that's going to be, but it might be a stream thing. It might be a just podcasting thing. Who knows? We'll figure it out. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Are we going to talk about our next project that you and I will soon be embarking on? Ben and I are going on a quest.
Now, folks, you might be sitting in your beanbag quivering in horror at the mere idea that you will not be getting as much Nikki and Ben, which, again, you've subscribed to the wrong podcast for that. Nikki and I are working on a secret project that we have actually not told many of the other members of Infinity Break about. In fact, I don't think anyone else at IB knows about this. And neither will you, because it's still under wraps. But Nikki and I are going to tackle a much slower moving industry soon based on a combined interest of ours, one of which one of us has adopted it very recently and the other has been doing this for a while, but we are both the same level of deeply invested in it. And I will let the listener guess as to what industry that is and to whom I am referring to when I mention each person. But fear not, there is more Ben Hamlin and Nikki Ballin content coming down the line. I can promise you that. Including, but not limited to, Speak of the Bard, which was a rabid success.
Everybody loved Speak of the Bard, and you will too. Check it out on our Infinity Break YouTube or our Twitch channel. Please watch it. It was really fun.
The last time Nikki and I were on anything together was Speak of the Bard, which was a four-hour one-shot that we did on our Twitch, twitch.tv/InfinityBreakGaming, which, of course, has later been rebroadcast to our YouTube and to the Speak of the Devil feed, in which I dungeon mastered a four-hour session in which all three of my players, Andrew Egel, Nikki Boylan, and Glenn Hirschberger, all played bards, and they fought Elton John. To the death? You'll find out. We did not kill Elton John.
You know, in case Elton John is listening to us and was worried about that.
Sir John, hello. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/infinitybreak. And I've heard reliably that you're rich.
You single-handedly can get us to our comic goal. Yeah. We'll have you on Speak of the Bard.
Yeah, I'm not above that Sir Elton John money.
It's what anyway, Freddie Mercury would have wanted.
Anyway, with literally no more announcements, let's talk about 2018's Venom. Nikki, what the fuck?
It was everything that I wanted and more.
Folks, the Venom movie got announced in like 2007. It's been 11 years. Up until last year, I did not think this movie was happening. At all. Boy, was I shocked to find a trailer had launched for it. And boy, was I horrified to find it was real. And boy, was I delighted to have seen it. Turns out Venom's real good, y'all.
Yeah.
Nikki, talk about, please, just take us for a ride. I put this podcast in your hands.
All right.
Call it be your name.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Because as a certified Venom aficionado, I guess you could say.
Okay.
Venom.
Sure, we will.
Venom was a wild ride, y'all. Yeah, so we had heard, you know, things. Rumors, if you will, from Sony. Rumors from Sony that there was going to be a Venom movie after Spider-Man 3, where Venom got shafted. And we were like, okay, nice try, but as if. And then suddenly, earlier this year, a trailer dropped. And I was really into that trailer. And I was really into the second trailer.
Yeah, we had some thoughts. Folks, I'm on the record as an anti-Venomite. I don't care for the dude. Or didn't prior to about 5 weeks ago. Whoops.
It worked, ladies and gentlemen. It worked.
It worked. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. On the flip side of that coin is Nikki, of course, who wears her Spider-Man badge of honor with pride. Yeah, we talked about it all the way back in like the Iron Man 1 episode, and I was on the record as a person who was not interested in this film at all because I'm not interested in Venom at all. And I remember because that was like the same time like the final Deadpool 2 trailer came out, and I was like, God, not this again, because I also don't like Deadpool, and I'm on the record about that. But yeah, I mean, okay, Nikki, when was the first point? This is a sincere question. When was the first point that you thought this movie was going to be good?
The second trailer.
Jog my memory.
Okay, so...
Oh, was that the... Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
Was that the first time we got the kind of enclosure shot where the teeth come up behind his head?
Where he's like, we turns into Venom. Are Venom. As soon as that happened, I was like, as soon as he said, we are Venom in that voice and was like looking like that, like he was just having the time of his life, then I was like, this is going to be the Venom movie that I've always wanted. Because the 90s comics, where Venom, basically what happens is he goes to San Francisco to become the Spider-Man of that area. Because he and Spider-Man agree that they're not going to go on at each other because Spider-Man saves his ex-wife, Venom's ex-wife, Eddie's. And he goes to San Francisco to be the hero of that area. And he has that kind of romance/buddy cop dynamic with Eddie where they're just having the time of their life beating up criminals and scaring the living daylights out of them. And as soon as that moment in the trailer happened, I was like, this feels like the Venom comics.
Coincidentally, it was also when Venom became fuckable.
Venom has always been fuckable. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, but there was like a single, like a switch was pulled over the course of an hour in which Tumblr became very horny for
Venom. Oh, okay, yeah. No, that was when the movie came out within an hour of the release date, the release time. People were suddenly horny for Venom.
Oh, and I mean, I saw a bunch of tongue-related memes all the way back when that second trailer dropped in, like, July.
It was probably the We Are Venom thing.
It was the tongue. But yes.
Yes, that was probably it. But then, all of a sudden, I was seeing the internet taken by storm by this character who I've always loved and thought was very entertaining to watch. And play as in video games. Ultimate Spider-Man was a good game, y'all.
I'm sure. I cannot attest to that in the slightest, but I'm sure.
Anyone who's played it, and I know at least one listener has, agrees with me.
We'll have to do it on the stream someday.
I'll do it. It'll be fun. I have the emulator. But yeah, then all of a sudden people were like...
Sorry, folks. You might have misheard that. Nikki said a legal copy of the game.
Yeah, oh yeah, a legal copy of the game. I actually do. I bought it, but it doesn't play on my computer, obviously. I have a Game Boy, so I did buy it legally.
I am chief administrator, content director, and legal department of this company. Anywho, you were saying.
But that's when all of a sudden the internet was like, oh, Venom.
Warning for Venom.
And I was like, this is my moment. To reveal to the world that I am the prime monster fucker of this community.
This is what we consider Infinity Break canon. The personalities of our various hosts get across only so much in various shows, but I think we've established a few ground rules. Ben is overworked and always tired and perpetually a grump. Nikki fucks monsters. Beth's wildly imaginative. You know, there's plenty of different things you can glean about our various hosts, like Nikki fucks monsters. It just occurred to me that, folks, based on the time that we are recording this, Tumblr has recently decided to announce that it's banning all adult-related content. So, if Venom is going to go down in history as probably one of the go down. Venom is going to go down in history as one of the last things that the entirety of that website got super horny about before it just burned out into a supernova.
And we'll still be out there because text. They say text is not going to be
finally
targeted.
Calling as an erotica writer is.
That means I can still go to Tumblr and post. Man, love that Venom.
What's
only
the rest
more
of that
explicit
sentence?
Than that.
Oh, there we go.
I'm just not saying it right now. Follow me at Tumblr at byrogues.tumblr.com.
Don't follow me. anyway, so yeah, that's one of the last. That's one of the last great solar flares before the sun went into a supernova and then burnt out into a black hole.
The world went dark, and we no longer had Venom art.
Tragedy. No. So I genuinely think this is sincere. A motivating factor on why everyone loved this movie so goddamn much is they made Venom so goddamn cute. Like, they made the symbiote himself so unbelievably adorable. Because I found myself... the first half of this movie is bleak. There's a lot of homeless people dying. There's a lot of corporate cover-up stuff. There's a lot of goopy CGI blobs flinging themselves against glass walls. First half of this movie is real bleak. And then Venom shows up. And then Venom shows up and becomes so unbelievably corny. And even what would ostensibly be a horrific transformation scene in any other film, which is Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock. There we go. Remembered his name. Eddie Brock's character. Eddie Brock going through a horrific transformation where he's like vomiting. You stepped out of the theater just as he threw up. Thank goodness. But him, you know, going through all those like cold sweats and his sweatshirt's all stained with sweat, hopefully. But then he like rips out a bag of tater tots out of the freezer and just wharfs them down immediately. And you can hear in his head like hungry or whatever. Hey, yeah, it turns out you just have to make Venom a dork. And we're good. That's I needed.
From that moment on, it became the buddy cop dynamic that I always loved about Eddie and Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the parts where Eddie just is along for the ride.
Yeah.
And has no idea what he's doing. Like when he's getting attacked by the corporate people, by the hitmen, I guess. And he's just he's like trying to put his hands up, and Venom's like, put your hands down. And he like is trying to keep his hands up. Venom just keeps putting his hands down. And it's like, you hear what's going on in his head, but no one else does. So probably to them, it looks like him doing crazy things, but we can hear it, what's going on. And
I loved, especially when Venom yells at Eddie, like, you're embarrassing us, or something along those lines. That line alone was what sold me on this movie.
Is
it the man who eats chicken bones out of the trash has a sense of pride?
Yeah, I feel like everyone involved in this movie had a really good time, and it shows. Like, the writers had a good time, they didn't care. It was like someone gave them a blank piece of paper and said, do you know about Venom? And they're like, oh yeah, we like Venom. And they're like, write a movie about him. That's what happened. They just gave a bunch of people who liked Venom a blank piece of paper and said, write a Venom script.
It's like they truly knew the expectation for this was so low.
They could do whatever they wanted.
And yeah, the fact that this movie came out and blew people out of the water with its level of corniness, it turns out you have to admit in the writer's room, hey, y'all, we know this is dumb, right? And then move on from there.
And that's what was so great about it. It didn't take itself seriously at all. It went back to the early 2000s cheesy, corny comic book movie background that, while using the CGI and stuff of like 2018, and it combined the best of those worlds into something that was truly enjoyable but also visually appealing at points. Like,
amen.
some of those combat scenes, and like particularly the scene where Riot and Venom are like curl off their hosts and are like fighting and mixing together. That was super cool.
Yeah, the action was actually genuinely interesting. There's a style of superhero combat that I find has infiltrated the MCU in a way I don't like, in which every combat scene is like way too fluid. I think Captain America, Black Widow, and like
Black Panther.
Yeah, I think Black Panther too. Where like it's all way too fluid. Like it's one of those. I am thinking especially of Captain America and Black Widow, where they are constantly countering every attack and they never take a punch, and then they're like swinging around other enemies to throw them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like in one of those Arkham games, if you never pressed the attack button and only pressed react or whatever, so you're constantly just doing like dodge attacks, and like Black Widow does it all the time, and Daredevil does it all the time, and or whatever. So when a fight breaks out of that mold, like for example, how unfucking believably brutal that Killmonger versus Black Panther fight was, you know, where dudes actually, well, I say dudes, I do mean T'Challa, actually gets like stabbed in the chest and shit. Or for example, in this Venom movie where, yeah, there's like all sorts of like kind of weird acrobatic stuff, but like those punches feel like they hurt and people are getting actually like slammed into, you know, there's a more visceral feeling to that. And I feel like for some reason, I feel like even Wonder Woman was a little guilty of it. But anyway,
to be fair, like canonically Wonder Woman way out of the league of some World War One German soldiers.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll believe it with her, but for some reason, especially with like Cap, I find it a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
I feel like mainstream MCU Marvel has like one way to do hand-on-hand combat. And if they do it with every single hero the same way, it doesn't feel like that one unique hero's.
Like not to bring it back to Spider-Man, but
Spider-Man did it though. I was refraining from saying that, but like Spider-Man did that shit. I feel like literally that exact style of combat should like be only Black Widow's and no one else's. She should be the person who only does counter moves.
That's her style because she's small and she uses her opponent's weight and size against them. Yeah. Like that's her whole fighting style.
I feel it should literally only be her that does that.
Stop appropriating the Black Widow for all of your superhero needs. Let her be badass. Like,
literally, we reviewed Iron Man 2 earlier this year, and like that's her, you know, when she you know, gets into the black suit and lets down her hair and actually starts walking down that hallway for the first time, and she's like throwing those little, what are those called, where it's like two weighted balls on the end of a cord and it trips people up. You know, and she's tripping people up and anyway, whatever. But like, yeah, this fight scene felt very visceral. The action felt very fun and very unique, and it wasn't one of those things where like I knew how it was gonna end. Because if every fight scene in Marvel is the Winter Soldier elevator fight scene, then none of them are special.
Right, and that's what I really liked about the action. Like what kept me, because a lot of action movies, particularly, you know, those action blockbusters and Marvel movies, it all does feel the same after a while, and you're like, oh, this is impressive, but it doesn't impress me anymore. And Venom, they used the combat and the CGI and the design, but they also used like the sound design and Foley and the music to augment those scenes. And I felt like that really kept me invested in those action scenes as well. As well as, you know, character development was going on during the action scenes. It wasn't always just action scenes. Like, Eddie, and I think that's the great thing about having a symbiote in your head. You're never bored. There's always someone talking to you. So there's always the excuse to have comedy and character development going on in the middle of the action scene, so you're not bored just watching a fight scene. There's, like, something to pay attention to as well.
Which is a torch that fan communities have absolutely just run with. I mean, folks, you could go up Nikki and I's Twitter DM history, and it's mostly me sending her Venom comics. We have real conversations too, but there's a lot of me sending her Venom comics. But like, there's tons that are like, there's that one that was like Venom and Eddie walking past like a sign for like, you know, the heart attack meat burger or whatever, and Venom's like, I want this. And like Eddie just keeps trying to walk by it, and then like one of those black tentacles like flies back and tries to drag him back to this like Carl's Jr. or whatever that's offering the.
He's like, we can't eat people. We can go home and have tater tots and chocolate, but we can't eat everybody. And then Venom just like, oh, fine, we like tater tots.
Or there's cute little drawings of like Venom holding Eddie's toothbrush while he gets ready in the morning, like that kind of stuff.
It's great. The community just took that relationship and ran with it.
It's so corny, and I absolutely love it. And that's like the secret to success, is acknowledging that this is a ridiculous concept.
It is, and they didn't try to do the MCU thing. What the MCU has done to Marvel Comics is tried to make them real, like not trying to suspend that disbelief. Like they're like, oh, this isn't magic, it's science.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine.
I mean, it happens in the comics too, but yeah.
To a lesser extent. Like, there's a lot of things that they're just like, Satan did this, literally.
Yeah.
And the movies are like, no, it was absolutely scientific. There was nothing magical about it. Absolutely denying that actual Satan is in the MCU, and not in the MCU, is in Marvel Comics.
And it's actually
kind of an important part of Marvel Comics storylines. You wouldn't think so, but he is. That's so they were like, oh, imagine if your roommate was an alien from outer space who needed you to live and really liked tater tots.
And imagine if you weren't so much roommates as co-inhabitants of the same body.
Mind roommates, if you will.
There we go.
Also, there were just some simple things about the movie that, like, really worked for it. Like, not just the, like, what you would expect of, like, a superhero movie of the action and the characters, but the character relationships, too. And the fact that Tom Hardy, obviously, was just having the time of his life really, really made it. Like, the most memorably, the lobster tank scene.
I was just about to say it. Yep.
Yeah, so that wasn't supposed to happen. Tom Hardy saw a lobster tank and said, I'm going in that. Which, good on you, Tom Hardy.
Folks, Tom Hardy is now a member of the British Empire. Well, he's an MBE. He's a step below knighthood now. What the fuck?
It's everything I've ever wanted.
Somebody really liked Mad Max.
No, it was me really liking Venom.
Yeah. Yes, you, the Queen of England. You can find her at Queen Scallop on Instagram. Yes.
True. Anyway, but just the character relationships. Like, obviously, this starts with him doing something bad that causes him to break his girlfriend to break up with him, or his fiance to break up with him. And then she comes back into his life, and he's like, he still is in love with her, and Venom doesn't really understand this, and is like, this makes Eddie sad. Must get them back together somehow. Yeah. I don't think Venom understands monogamy either, because then it ends up being this polyamorous mashup of four beings in one group thing, and actually that's really great, because there's no... There could have very easily been a really stupid plot line about Eddie trying to get Annie back and Annie's new boyfriend being a jerk rival with Eddie and, like, him being an extra, you know, antagonist in the movie. But they didn't do that. Instead, he, like, helps Eddie. He's, like, worried about Eddie's health and, like, tries to get him health and get him help. Yeah,
the new boyfriend's cool.
And... it was really nice and really refreshing. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, God, he's going to be the asshole that, like, Eddie has to, like, get Annie back from. But it wasn't like that at all, and it was really nice. But instead, he's a really kind, smart doctor who sees someone in trouble and is like, man, let me help you.
Yeah, those MRI scenes are great.
And it's like you get the feeling that he really cares as opposed to just being an asshole. Like, they very easily could have gone that typical movie route, and they didn't.
Yeah, and thank goodness for it. I think, going back to, not to rewind too much, but going back to, like, the self-serious nature of... I mean, I've been saying this for a long time with regards to, like, everything after The Dark Knight and Watchmen tries to be The Dark Knight and Watchmen. And that includes low-budget Dark Knight, that is to say, the Arrow television show. It came out, like, the year after, man. No, it didn't. It was a few years later.
Huh? You're not wrong.
I know I'm not. Thank you. But, like, no, it's a level of self-seriousness that is, like, plagued. Comic books aren't just for kids anymore. We got clowns with knife smiles and stuff. You know, whatever. Dark Knight's a good movie, though. But unfortunately, what that means is that, like, God, DC especially has been trying so hard to replicate Dark Knight. This is not a Marvel versus DC podcast, and I hate that argument at all. But, like, DC has tried so goddamn hard to make every movie they've made Dark Knight. Or at least they definitely tried with Man of Steel and BVS, at the very least. But not to make this about either of those. A trailer that was so unbelievably ridiculed during the Comic-Con season was Titans. With fuck Batman. With, like, with whatever Robin that's... I haven't watched the show, I don't intend to. Whatever Robin that's supposed to be, Jason Grayson, him, like, stepping on dudes' necks and then doing, like, the fuck Batman line or whatever, is a level of self-seriousness that comic book movies do not need. It works for some of them, not for all of them. So it's refreshing to see a movie go in the absolute opposite direction and say, like, instead of being like, oh yeah, we need to make this edgy and dark and cool, we need to make this relevant for modern audiences, you know, all that jazz, it's just like, hey, what if Venom was a dork? What if that alien from space was a dork?
It's great. And I love it. And Eddie Brock is a human being in a position that we can all relate to. He's someone who was trying to do what he thought was right and messed up really bad and lost a lot for it. And I think, you know, more than one person has been through that. And instead of, you know, making him this all-perfect hero guy, he's just along for the ride.
Yeah. He's an awkward photojournalist, too. Got swept up into an alien thing. Literally into an alien thing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not to say there can't be self-serious comic book movies, but, like... Thank you, Sony, for acknowledging the one about a shape-shifting goop blob from a different planet was not the one that needed to be self-serious. And if the folks at DC would like to acknowledge that the one about a childhood sidekick growing up and then having a friend that transforms into animals and another one who's a straight-up witch, that one also doesn't need to be serious. That's my understanding of Titans.
You're also not wrong.
I also don't know what Starfire's actual powers are.
Who knows, buddy? I don't plan on watching the show.
So what do we like about this movie? It's corny. It's clearly made with love for that character. There's an Eminem end credits song.
Yeah, Eminem raps about Venom. Venom.
I didn't realize that when we went into the theater. I didn't know. I didn't read about that. But Nikki and I were like, what? We saw this together. Nikki's back in the States. But, like, we were in the theater together, and I was thinking, like, as we were listening to this, this sounds a lot like Eminem. And then it says, like, original song by Eminem, and I lost my, like, my soul left my body.
I had an out-of-body experience. I was like, oh my god, they got Eminem to rap for this movie.
It's a very 1999 move.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, this movie is such a throwback, is all I'm getting at. We're not going to say anything that other critics haven't already said. But every single observation we're going to make about this movie is going to end with, and therefore we loved it. Man, this movie feels like such a throwback, and therefore we loved it. Wow, this movie's so corny, and therefore we loved it.
Yeah, it's like a lot of things that like the critics threw it for were why the audience really enjoyed it. And I think that's because the critics are just out of touch. They want every superhero movie to be an MCU movie. They want it to be a Dark Knight or a Man of Steel. Doesn't have to be. I like that this was like a throwback to the Raimi trilogy.
Sure. I mean, but like, we're critics.
Oh yeah, no, there it had its problems, definitely.
You actually
But not to the point of oh, there were problems with it. Yeah. Just not to the point that the critics hounded it for.
I think the critic versus fan divide gets brought up a lot. And I think it's bullshit for the most part. Because fans are critics and critics are fans for the most part. I think what happens is like the big publishing outlets kind of have to do like reviews that come down on these kind of things. Not that they're like paid off by Disney or anything like that. I mean, like Entertainment Weekly is not going to herald Venom as the best movie of the year. You know what I mean?
No.
The New York Times is going to be like, isn't going to be like Venom, the beacon of light for the future of superhero movies. That's how New York Times
It wasn't a beacon of light for future superhero movies. It was just a real good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, I don't understand why, like, big-time critics can't be like, oh, this movie had some serious plot and pacing issues, but it was a real good time. Instead, they have to be like, this was the shittiest thing to come out since actual shit.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas I think critics, on our level, podcasting critics, just comic book blog critics, you know, to name outlets, some like Polygons and Mary Sue's, like those kind of outlets or whatever. None of us, no, we thought it was great. I mean, I think there's a more tongue-in-cheek appreciation of it, even if the review is bad, quote-unquote. I think that there's still the underlying appreciation of how weird it is.
Right.
But that's also because millennials are steeped in irony, so who knows?
That's true. Yeah. Also, I really hope we get a sequel because the person that they cast as Carnage looks exactly like the Cletus Cassidy from the comics.
He really does. Nikki, take over. Talk about Carnage. Talk about that scene.
God, I'm gonna. Okay.
Please don't spike your microphone.
Venom and Carnage. That scene. We hoped we were going to get a tease about Carnage somehow, either it being them having it be one of the original symbiotes or, you know, something like that. But they kept the actual serial killer Cletus Cassidy to be Carnage. And instead, Eddie Brock is an investigative reporter who is going... Apparently, he's the only person that Cletus will talk to. So I'm interested to see where they go for with that, because in the comics, Carnage comes about because Venom reproduces, and Eddie and Cletus are sharing a jail cell asexually. He reproduces asexually. he does
I
reproduce sexually as well, apparently, because he and Eddie have an actual child. But anyway... Carnage, because Eddie and Cletus are sharing a jail cell, and when Eddie gets released, the Venom symbiote reproduces, and part of it latches on to Cletus Cassidy and becomes a psychotic, deranged monster that calls itself Carnage.
You know,
so, you know, as you do, you know, as it happens, I think that Carnage is one of the scariest villains in comic book ever, because he doesn't care and just wants to kill people. Like, there's no reasoning with him, and he's stronger than both Spider-Man and Venom combined, so, you know, creepy. Scary. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see where they go with that, since they kept his original like character and kind of history there, and he looks just like actual Cletus Cassidy from the comics.
It's remarkable.
It was like they pulled him out of the comics. I saw that and I was like, oh my god.
It's remarkably good casting. It's also a god, what a corny setup. Again, corny but great, of just, when I get out, there's gonna be carnage.
But it like filled me with such joy, like this visceral folks. Emotion. As soon as there's gonna be carnage, I was like, roll credits. Folks, please give me a Venom and Carnage movie.
Nikki's mouth was open, like jaw on the floor. She was ready for this.
I was waiting for the Carnage like teaser. I wasn't expecting Carnage to be the after credit scene, but when I didn't see him through the movie, I started suspecting it was going to be an after credit scene that Carnage was going to be in.
It's weird based on the way this movie was made, and the intellectual property that was and wasn't available to Sony. It's so weird watching a Venom movie that is so divorced from the MCU, or from Marvel, really. Because Venom is just Venom. Venom is not a mirror of Spider-Man in this movie, because there's no Spider-Man.
It works, too.
Not Spider-Man doesn't appear. Like, there's no Spider-Man in this world, as far as we know. Whether or not it's actually, you know, happening in San Francisco in the MCU, who knows? It doesn't super matter. Stan Lee's there. I don't know. But it's because it's so wildly divorced from everything. But Venom still looks like Venom, even without his giant white spider on his chest. Mm-hmm. So, like, the one lifeline this throws back to the rest of the Spider-Verse is the introduction of Carnage.
And it's so great. I'm emotional thinking about it right now.
I know you are, bud.
Remember seeing the wild mane of red hair and being like, oh my god.
Oh, yeah. So, Nikki, I've got a question for you.
Shoot.
This movie was a success. It's outpaced Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and Wonder Woman. The movie about the Goopy Boy? Sony has announced time and time again they have plans for a continued Spider-Man-less Spider-Man-verse in the form of the Mobius movie that's apparently happening, starring Jared Leto.
Which, boy,
cannot wrap my head around that.
I can't either. I want a Mobius movie. Morbius. I just don't want Jared Leto in it. You know what I mean?
Plus,
we already have Blaine?
I feel like we need to have Blade before we have a Morbius movie.
We already have the vampire hunter, and he's cooler than Mobius.
Yeah.
So. Well,
I mean, we don't have Blade because the last Blade movie came out in like 2003. There needs to be a new Blade movie.
Yeah. When are we going to get our new Blade movie? Get on that. Enter that into that. Come on.
But let's have it. So we got a Morbius the Living Vampire movie starring Jared Leto. I know. We've got a Silver Sable and Black Cat movie coming down the line.
I think they're splitting those movies now so that I don't think they're going to be together in the movie.
Either way, wild as hell.
I want my black. If you're not going to do it, Sony, you know who you should just give it to me. Give it to me. I'll make the perfect Black Cat and Silver Sable movie. I know those characters. Give me Black Cat.
I feel like there was a fourth. I feel like there was another one. But I'm spacing on it. It feels like it was another niche end of Spider-Man.
Don't remember.
What do we think of a Spider-Man-less Spider-Verse?
And I was actually thinking about this. And this can be, you know, extra content if we want. So I'm going to go on a little, because I've been actually thinking about this. Is, I know it's not possible yet, but I absolutely am into this Venom being a part of the MCU. And here's why. I know that originally Venom is in part of the Spider-Man story. Spider-Man is part of Venom's story.
He is a mirror of Spider-Man, literally.
Yes.
A foil is the actual literary term.
He's a foil. But here's the thing. Now we have this alien that has come from outer space and attached itself to Eddie Brock and has already established itself as their own anti-hero of San Francisco. So we skipped all that part of Venom's canon comic story. That's right. Okay to me. They made it work. They kept Venom's personality without having him just be mad at Spider-Man for everything. They skipped all that. That's fine. We have Carnage. That's also fine. What I really, really want, and I've been thinking about this a lot, is for Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock and Tom Holland's Peter Parker to meet in canon.
Uh-huh.
Both of them being, you know, their own heroes of their own place. Venom being, okay. Because Eddie being like, oh, that's the hero of New York. And Venom being like, okay, this is how he thinks a hero should look. I'm going to keep my look, but add some things here. Because then I'll still be scary, but also still be a hero. You know what I mean? And then Spider-Man just being like, I don't know what is going on. This man is scary, but he also likes tater tots. And that dynamic is so hilarious to me, and I really, really want to see it. So, like, please, Sony and Marvel, if you could, like, get on that. I really want to see what this AU, MCU, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and this Venom would be like working together. Particularly if Carnage became a threat, because Venom and Spidey worked together to defeat Carnage in the comics multiple times.
Sure, sure.
It would be really interesting to see that dynamic against that Carnage. So yeah. I've been thinking about that a lot, because we've already established this Venom. Venom can be the base character in this universe. It could be a Venom cinematic universe. There's plenty of content to choose from. He fights his own villains that don't involve Spider-Man at all. He has his own comics. He interacts with characters outside of Spider-Man. You can have your own Venom universe. He has his own Venom universe.
I found what the other movie was.
What is it?
I'll tell you in a sec. Yeah, it's so weird because the MCU is obviously so tightly woven. It's, you know, its production schedule is obviously, you know, some 3 or 4 years ahead of what's actually releasing. You know, it's probably very difficult for them to, you know, say nothing of borrowing Tom Holland. It's probably very difficult for them to, you know, plan ahead at the rate that, you know, Kevin Feige and Joe Quesada and all that jazz are moving, right? But they still have a lot of, Sony has a lot of Spider properties that they want to use, but there's not a spot for them to use them because they can't make Spider-Man movies on their own because Marvel Disney has the main Peter Parker story now. Because Peter Parker exists in the MCU. He didn't for the first like 9 years. Now he does. And okay, I can see a Venom movie. I can see a Venom 2 in which he fights another blob. I can even see a Black Cat movie. I'm sure you could put her up against the Magia, I guess they're called, and like Hammerhead and Tombstone and, you know, all those, like, you know, the Spider-Man mob boss characters.
Even Venom and Felicia Hardy interact and work together in the comics. Just saying.
There we go.
So just Nikki, saying, Sony, please hire me. I'm the expert in these matters.
I don't know what the hell you do with Mobius Loving Vampire.
Nothing that hasn't already been done in vampire movies.
Yes,
that's literally the thing. Like, there's nothing unique about the character anymore.
Yeah, what I think is unique about Morbius is that the idea that, like, Spider-Man has to work with a monster. Like literally, like, that's the whole thing. Like, oh, Spider-Man's like, oh, shit, this dude's a vampire. And he's like, no, it's okay, I'm chill.
Low-cut, tight clothes.
Yeah, I'm sexy, which is weird that they cast Jared Leto, the most uncharismatic man in the universe, to play me. If he's not, Morbius is now from Romania. Blah. But I don't know what you do with a Morbius movie, is all I'm saying, is because when you make movies about the villains, then you have to find a villainier villain. And I don't want to see the movie that's like Sandman versus Dr. Octopus, you know? I want to see Spider-Man versus Dr. Octopus. And I want to see Spider-Man versus Sandman. So I don't know if I... Again, I can appreciate Black Cat going up against the Mafia. I can appreciate Venom going up against Carnage. But I don't want to see an entire universe of villains going up against worse villains.
Right. What was the other movie? Some
heroes. It's Kraven the Hunter. The article says it's going to be based off of Kraven's Last Hunt.
Oh, that's right. I remember this.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. Good. But wait a second.
But without Spider-Man.
What? What? But Spider-Man is literally the main cause of Kraven's Last Hunt. He's going to hunt Spider-Man. That's his last hunt.
Hey, Nikki, I'll raise you one. Spider-Man ain't just responsible for Kraven's Last Hunt. Spider-Man's responsible for Kraven.
Spider-Man is responsible for Kraven, that's true.
Like, Kraven's whole deal is, I will hunt the most dangerous game. And that happens to be that one 17-year-old he knows.
But what if it's Venom now?
Okay, we kind of into that. But Kraven doesn't even need to be in America if not for Spider-Man. Like,
guys, but listen, I'm serious. Venom Cinematic Universe, let's go.
But, like, Kraven would be off in the fucking Congo. Like, he has no reason to be in Manhattan. Or America, whatever. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's so... I can't imagine... Well, it would be like doing a Joker movie that's just about the Joker. Which they're also doing, so never mind. Sorry, Joker... villains exist to be foils to heroes, and I don't know if I can watch movies where villains are fighting other villains. I don't think that's what's going to happen in the Joker movie, obviously. I'm confused on what a Kraven's Last Hunt movie could be if it doesn't include Spider-Man in it.
Also, does this mean that Kraven is not going to be in the Sinister Six movie?
Who knows?
All we have confirmed is Mysterio. And I guess we have Scorpion and Vulture.
October 9th, 2018, Richard Wenk, one of the writers of Sony's Kraven the Hunter movie, has revealed he's currently working on the script and that the film could even feature Spider-Man.
Oh.
Could. May. Might.
Better. Otherwise, they don't really understand Kraven the Hunter, do they?
Yeah, I mean, villains exist to be foils to heroes, and, like, this makes as much... Can you imagine if there were just, like, Two-Face the movie? And there was no Batman. It was just Two-Face. Just flipping coins and killing dudes. Or Riddler, but he's just asking riddles to himself. Ooh, very clever, Riddler. Yes, I agree, Riddler. I mean, what's a Kraven movie without a... Give me Spider-Man, colon, Kraven's Last Hunt. Colon, maybe Spider-Man's there.
Maybe Spider-Man?
Maybe also Spider-Man. May contain Spider-Man.
Contains trace amounts of Spider-Man. No copyright intended.
Civil War, colon, maybe Captain America's here. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't work without the hero. And yeah. I don't know what they're really planning. It's no. I want Kraven. Just don't want no Spider-Man.
I'm really serious, Sony. Please, please, please. Let me write Black Cat.
That being said, we would have confirmed, as you mentioned a moment ago, we have confirmed Vulture, Scorpion, presumably Shocker, and...
Vulture. Okay, so Vulture, Mysterio, Scorpion, Shocker.
And presumably Shocker is still alive. And he did is. Not he's die in when jail. He got hit by a bus.
He is. He's in jail.
Okay, so we have four confirmed.
So we're missing two.
Who I believe we've talked in the past about who we want our Sinister Sixes to be, but now that we, like, know Mysterio's involved, whomst do you want to be in your Sinister Six? I already know my answers.
What are your answers?
It's fucking Dr. Octopus.
I know.
For one, because Dr. Octopus is the greatest supervillain of all time. Sorry, Lex Luthor and Magneto, who I canonically like more. And then, I don't know if I'm a big enough fan of Electro. So
here's the thing is that Electro is, like, base... This is why I will fight for Electro, like an actual Max Dillon Electro that isn't weird. Like, they just didn't make him at all like how he is in the comics in the Amazing Spider-Man movies. Like, his personality is real off. Also, Electric Eels?
Was that a part of that film? I never saw it.
Oh, yeah. He gets his power by falling into electric eels.
Oh, that's real dumb. I love that, though.
Instead of just simply being an electrician and falling into wires and getting struck by lightning.
Yeah, his literal whole deal is to get struck by lightning. It's that simple. You don't need to make it any more complicated than that.
Yeah, it's weird.
I do like Electro because his whole deal is that he is a bank robber, and that's it.
He's like, a glorified bank robber. And he's,
yeah, he does the most logical thing a supervillain has ever done in any superhero movie. He's like, well, I got lightning powers, I might as well rob a bank. Everyone else is like, the Iron Man dropped an asteroid on my tiny German village because he was fighting 1,000 robots. And now I will reactivate the Winter Soldier so that I can tear the Avengers apart. Or, you know, that is the plot of Civil War. That's not weird. That's what happens.
And then Electro's just like, oh, I sparky sparky boom man. I'm going to rob a bank.
Hey, I got lightning powers. Might as well steal a bank.
But like, I want, so now that we have Shocker isn't part of the Sinister Six.
Well, yeah, he isn't, but he is an established villain that they could make part of.
That they could make part of the Sinister Six. Yes, I want Doc Ock. My only thing is that like Alfred Molina will be the only Doc Ock for me ever.
Amen. Amen, sister.
And I don't know if they can get Alfred Molina to play Doc Ock. If they do, he's the only Doc Ock I care about. I watched Spider-Man 2 again recently.
I saw him in a movie as recently as 2011. He still looks young and kicking.
Yeah, so I want them to get him because he's who I want. He's the only Doc Ock I'll ever care about.
What did I say? I tweeted a while back, broke, bring back J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson. Woke, bring back Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus.
That's
Galaxy Brain, bring back Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin.
He's the only Green Goblin that matters.
I'm a bit of a scientist myself. Now, Harry. Oh, God, I loved him.
Willem Dafoe.
Also, Nikki, my dear, dear friend, you know my all-time favorite line from that first movie. Impressive!
We did. We talked about this in length where we basically just quoted Green Goblins. You're the one who's out, Gobby. Out of your mind.
Love that film. That being said.
Yeah, Electro, Doc Ock. That would be my ideal. And then if, like, barring Shocker. Shocker wasn't, because, I mean, I guess they could put him in on this. They've already established it. And they actually made Shocker cool? They actually made him a really stoic, cool dude. Vulture, who they also did the impossible in making really badass. But we already talked about that in our Homecoming episode.
I am literally... Forgive me, my dear friend, forgive me. I am opening a list of Spider-Man villains just so I make sure I'm not forgetting anyone.
The other members of the Sinister Six have been Hydro-Man, Sandman... Venom was a part of it, and he poisoned Sandman and killed him.
Okay, here's what I got.
Kraven was there. Kraven's part of the original, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Ideally for me, Dr. Octopus and Kraven. If we don't get Kraven, or Shocker isn't there and it is Kraven, who knows, whatever. I'm going to pitch you this.
Oh, also Chameleon.
Literally the word I was about to say was Chameleon.
Yeah.
Because you get, give me a bunch of like the hard hitters or whatever. Give me Mysterio, whose whole power is to fuck up with Spider-Man's head. And then give me the Chameleon so that like Spider-Man comes home and he's like, gee, I sure am tired from being the Spider-Man. And then Aunt May just goes in to knife him. But it's Chameleon.
Yeah. That's who I was thinking. I was thinking Kharlamov.
Yeah. Give me the fucking Chameleon.
Yeah.
And if not the Chameleon, I mean, damn it, Fox owns him, but Fox won't own him for much longer because Fox is about to be owned by Disney.
Who?
Give me the fucking Juggernaut.
Oh, the Juggernaut.
Nothing Can Stop the Juggernaut is a Spider-Man story.
I forgot about the Juggernaut.
He's not actually Scottish. He's only Scottish in X-Men 3, but give me the fucking Juggernaut, lad.
I forgot about the Juggernaut.
Professor X's half-brother.
weirdo.
We don't talk about that enough.
Oh, Rhino was also part, you know, but we're not going to talk about him.
Yeah, or we could have the better Rhino, the Juggernaut.
Exactly. The one who doesn't dress up in an animal suit ruining New York.
Nikki, are you sure I can't convince you to do that episode-by-episode breakdown of the 1990s original Spider-Man?
The 90s?
Cartoon?
You probably could.
Spider-blood.
You probably could get me to do an episode-by-episode breakdown of that on a weekly basis.
Maybe we'll make that a Patreon reward?
Yeah. Yeah.
For $300 a month or whatever, we will do the... you'll do it. I don't have time.
I will.
Yeah, so maybe we'll make $300 or $500... I'm sorry. Scarecrow's not supposed to be on this list. Google, why did you auto-populate Scarecrow under Spider-Man villains? He ain't.
Wrong franchise?
Oh, by the way, the ultimate answer to the question, who should Spider-Man fight, will be the same for every hero I'm ever asked that same question. The answer is Dr. Victor Von Doom.
He does.
Frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man issue number 5, I believe. Amazing. Yep. Spider-Man number 5. Do you have anything else you want to say about Venom?
It was real good, guys, and I really enjoyed it. And it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray soon, and I know I'm going to get it.
And that's about... That's like the best possible endorsement from a millennial you can imagine.
Like, I'm actually going to buy the movie.
Yeah, because we don't buy physical media anymore as a generation. So that's that's a real good assertion that this is a good film. All right, folks, I think that is going to conclude it for this episode of Super Cinema. We are done talking about Venom until Venom 2 comes out, or until next week when we want to talk more about Venom. That being said, this is not the end of Super Cinema. We will be back next month, or later this month even, to talk about Into the Spider-Verse, the brand new animated Miles Morales-centric Spider-Man movie that features Spider-Ham and Gwen Stacy. Weird this movie's happening, huh?
Dude, I'm so thrilled.
It might take us a bit to get an episode out, but in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am found at Ben C. Hamlin, that is BenCHamlin, over on Twitter.com, where I'm always talking about comics.
And you can find me at Nikki_Boylan, BoYLAN.
You can find us both at Infinity Break 23. That is the name of the studio that puts out this podcast and produce all that Infinity Break content, that good stuff. Podcasts, webcomics, live streams, videos, and more are all available at InfinityBreak.net, where we are telling stories our own way. Folks, as I said at the very beginning of this, Super Cinema is no more a regular program. We have grown tired of this world, its people, etc. But we will be back to talk about the greats. We will be back to talk about the real stinkers. And we're going to leave the middle ground stuff to the critics who know how to post a podcast on time. But fear not, Nikki and I, as I said, are going to be working on a number of projects together in the future, including more Speak of the Bard nonsense. That's a guarantee. A new podcast of mutual interest of ours that we'll announce in the near future, I'm sure. And then we were kind of maybe sort of joking earlier today about Nikki doing an episode-by-episode breakdown of the 1990s The Amazing Spider-Man cartoon, which, of course, I would be a frequent guest on.
Yes, I would invite you all the time.
Thank you. But if you want to see more from us, there's a simple way to do that. You can go to patreon.com/infinitybreak, where you can start a subscription with us for as little as $1 a month. That gets you extra analysis from Of Horses and Men, including an entire 27 minutes where Leslie goes ham about Sharknado. At the $50 level, we are trying to fund monthly comic book specials that would be posted on this very feed, and even higher than that, at the $150 a month level, we will be doing some more live stream tabletop. If you like Nikki and I's random antics, and you know how much we love tabletop, wink wink, you can find Speak of the Bard, which is a 4-hour-long musical adventure that Nikki and I did not even a month ago, even though it already feels like an eternity has passed, on our YouTube and on the Speak of the Devil feed on iTunes. Regardless, we encourage you so much to check out patreon.com/infinitybreak and start a subscription with us for as little as $1 a month. It will enormously help us improve the quality of this shows, all of our other shows, and take risks on new projects. We cannot do this without your support. Anyway, that's about absolutely everything. We have exhausted ourselves talking about Venom. Once again, I'm your host, Ben Hamlin. I'm joined, as always,
by Nikki Boylan.
We will see you later this month for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.